Blog Talk Radio. All right. We're going to learn today. Shalom, good morning. Welcome once again to another episode of Sword of Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Shaba, one of the teachers here with the ISBHBK. That is the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, located in San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia, and Rochester, New York. I'd like to welcome you out to our broadcast again this morning as we're trying to get our consistency back with our blog talk shows going on every day. So I'm joined by my brother, Gabar Kawa. Again today, my pleasure, my honor to have the brother here. And just said, you know, it says, the scripture says two are better than one. And to have somebody here with you as you try to get these things accomplished, it really does help out a lot. So Tawada, for being here, and just your presence alone is helping go ahead and reestablish and keep this going. All right, I kind of want to jump into it. Let me make a quick announcement. I was supposed to do it yesterday at the end of the show. Gabar Kawa sent me the picture of the Passover coming up. Remember, actual Passover date is actually a week from today, as a matter of fact. Today's the 7th, April 7th. The evening of April 14th, which is a week from today, sunset, is the actual Passover. But we're going to get together Sunday, April 17th, to actually have a Passover convocation, actual meeting, that we're actually able to come together and have the Passover meal. But that is not negating the fact that the actual Passover actually starts April 14th. And sunset, April 14th, okay? But the dinner we're going to have, where we can actually congregate and we can all come together and rehearsing the righteous acts a little bit, rehearsing the fact that we're not having to go to work and we can all come together, we're going to hold the dinner Sunday, April 17th, at 5 p.m., all right? It's going to be Sunday, April 17th at 5 p.m., hosted by ISBHBK Houston, and the location is 5475. That's 5475 West Ham Houston Parkway in North Houston, Texas, 77041. All right, I'm going to read that one more time. Again, the Passover dinner that we'll be observing together, where we can all congregate and come together, will be at 5475 West Sam Houston Parkway, North Houston, Texas, 77041. All right, and again, that's starting at 5 p.m. All right, the dinner starting at 5 p.m. The celebration will start at 5 p.m. there in Houston. So you're invited to come. And remembering that the scripture does say that when you come, you should not appear empty-handed. Do you know what I mean? Four or something like that?
Deuteronomy 16 and 16?
Well, show up. Come on through, all right?
Right.
Come on through. If you can bring something, bring something. You're more than welcome. So, picking up where we left off yesterday, because we only have an hour and a half today. We still want to end the class at, it's 10:30 a.m. here in San Antonio. We still want to kind of end that at noon as we there's definitely a lot of errands that got to be ran and taken care of again today, okay? So kind of picking up from yesterday, we left off in Isaiah chapter 47, and we were starting at verse 1, and we're going into the picture I keep trying to establish and keep trying to paint, keep trying to penetrate through the lies and the deception that the serpent has been spitting out at us, the lies that he's trying to engulf us in, and that this thing about, not only is it just about the saying the word God damn, the compound word God damn means something vulgar, means taking the name of the Lord in vain. We're going to get into, and I didn't go into the I'm not going at this time into the discussion or into the study matter of what is God's name. We have a lot of Hebrew Israelite controversy taking place behind that? Is it Yahweh? Is it Jehovah? Is it Yahuwah? Is it Isaiah? Is it Yeshaya? Is it Ahiah? There's so many different... one, this is just to throw it out there. There cannot be one name for an all-powerful, all-knowing, all-everything God. Let's just say that. Let's go ahead and put it out there. That there cannot be one name, okay? Like what we've been taught, what's been forced upon us from religion and Christianity, from the arrival of Caucasians here in the Americas, okay? There's not one name for God. Let's get that understood. And then we know that the term God, G-O-D, that is not his name, all right? God, that is not the Creator's name. So even to come back in this mysticism or this lie of goddamn, is taking the name of the Lord in vain. If God is not his name, then by saying goddamn, how are you taking his name in vain if that's not his name? But because of the religious oppression that we've been under from Caucasians, from the colonizers since they arrived here in 1492, and only getting at the end of their whips, their guns, their swords, their knives, their torture devices, that we've been given just the term or name God or Jehovah or what have you, but that's not his name. And again, as we've been going over that, well, let's get into it. Let's go to Isaiah 47:1. Just how polluted our minds and our spirits have become, being in captivity, being under the authorities, being under the cruelty of the so-called white man, being under the cruelty of his religion, of his politics, of his philosophies, of his doctrine, of his idea of civilization. We've been so heavily oppressed by his manner of doing things that we still associate things in the Bible with his perspective, with his outlook. And we don't just realize how deep his lies have really penetrated into our spirits, into our thinking, how deep his lies have taken over. What really would be, if I could say it, common sense, that we have been forced for generations since his arrival here, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm trying to use big ass words, but the duress that we've been under, that if we don't answer correctly, under the penalty of having your kids sold, being raped, being tortured, to the point of not only with the cat and nine tails, the bullwhip, but they came up with some tortures for us. They called it the Judas chair, the rack,
the Iron Maiden,
a chair. That had spikes strewn throughout the whole chair, like similar to Iron Maiden, and it would be heated with a coals of fire, and we were forced to sit upon it. Thumb busters, like small thumb handcuffs, but they'd be twisted to actually crush your thumbs, pulverize your thumbs to the point where they're useless. And one thing that makes human beings special is the fact that we have thumbs, and to have your thumbs obliterated, your hands are useless. Your hands are literally useless. That the torture devices, again, that was conceived and came up with, just to force us away from our culture, to force us and to accept his religion, his philosophy, his way of doing things, really is horrific. It really is disgusting. If we go back and look at the Inquisition, and if you look at any of the torture devices that were used during the time of the Inquisition to force a person to accept their form of Christianity, to make a person accept and confess that their form of Christianity was the only religion, that the Pope was the father on earth, the highest authority on earth. You know, he was the most corrupt person on earth. That we were so institutionalized with their way of doing things that has passed on from generation to generation to generation to now we're in the year 2022, like we're in right now, and we're definitely living the results of their diabolical plans to erase our history from us, to erase our culture from us, and to only see things through their eyes. What is recognized as a marriage, what's recognized as a good family structure, as what is recognized as a good man, what's recognized as a good woman. We really truly only have their perspective. I mean, that's really all we've been left with. And as we keep trying to live the American dream from what's been presented to us, the lies are coming out. The lies are being revealed. The lifestyles of the rich and famous, please. It is now coming to light. Just how debaucherous, how lustful, how demonic, how hidden the true lifestyles of celebrities, of judges, of lawyers, of public officials is really coming out to light. It's really coming to light. The violence that has been used to contain and control minorities, so-called blacks, Native Americans, and so-called Mexicans here in the States, again, since the arrival of white people, has really been like the brother Gabbard just said, demonic, devilish,
satanic.
The only somebody, I mean, of the basest humanity, having the most lack of humanity, will come up with some of the tortures and some of the devices and some of the even the psychological warfare that has been waged against us as a people, against the Israelites. So try to pick up from where we was at yesterday. We're in the book of Isaiah chapter 47. I'm at the brother Gabbard read. Let's just start with the book of Isaiah 47. We'll go from there.
Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 1. And it says, "Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon."
If you didn't have a chance to tune into us yesterday, at the end of the show, we went into and showed how Edom, the so-called white man, is the virgin Edomites, is the daughter of Babylon. All right, a daughter being the offspring of something, of someone, and that how America is the virgin daughter of Babylon. Let's get that just real quick, just for those who might not have tuned in yesterday. Can we get Psalms 137? And we said it verse 7. Real quick, we can do that real quick.
Psalms chapter 137, verse 7.
Yes, sir.
"Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom."
All right, so the topic here is Edom. All right, the subject matter in this is Edom. "Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom." This is what David is asking the Father to remember. Remember the children, the ancestry, the genealogy, the
offspring.
The offspring, the family line of Edom. Remember them. Let's see if it's going to be in a good way. Go ahead.
"In the day of Jerusalem."
Remember them in the day of Jerusalem. Go ahead.
"Who said, raise it, raise it."
And remember the children of Edom, that when it came to the fall of the Israelites. Now, it's funny how white people will come back and want to make sure that and remind everybody that we're supposed to be brothers, that we're supposed to forgive one another, that we're supposed to be there for one another. We're supposed to have love and charity and kindness for one another. But when our judgment was came down to us and the Babylonians were taking us down, the Edomites weren't saying, "Hey, that's our brothers." The Edomites weren't saying, "Hey, that's our brother nation right there. Leave them alone. Let's go help out the Israelites." No, they were partakers of the spoils of Jerusalem. They were just as heavy-handed as the Babylonians were when we finally fell. And then they come back in 70 AD, good Lord, please. When they sacked Jerusalem, and I always bring this up when I go into the subject down there, and only because I was in construction. When I was in the Navy, I did construction. And one of the things I liked to work with was concrete. The reason I'm bringing that up is when the Romans sacked Jerusalem, and they was able to finally get a hold of our temple, there was so much treasure and so much gold in our temple, even at that time, that is what was used to finance the building of the Roman Colosseum in Rome. The money and the wealth they got from sacking Jerusalem gave them the technology to invent concrete. So that's when they built the Roman Colosseum. And the Roman Colosseum was a world marvel. Did you know that the Roman Colosseum, the way it was built, that they would actually have, not only would they have gladiators fighting in the Colosseum for how big and how wide and how humongous the damn place was, they could flood the arena floor of the Colosseum and actually have naval battles inside the Colosseum. Do you know how big a ship is? Man, I'm not talking about some remote control little whatever or some drone size battery operated toys. They actually would have naval battles inside the Colosseum. Because they can flood the Colosseum floor with water, raise it up to a height enough to where they can get ships in there and actually have simulated naval battles inside the Colosseum. And then and be able to empty it out with the aqueducts and the water system in a ungodly quick amount of time that you'd be surprised how quick it was to empty out the Colosseum of the water. And I'm going to talk about flooding the whole Colosseum where the whole thing was flooded, where you couldn't even sit down. So just the floor, the battlefield, if you will, of the Colosseum would be flooded to where they could have Navy battles inside the Colosseum. That was financed from the sacking of Jerusalem. That's how much the scripture can tell you in Romans 11, that when we fell, the world got rich. The Romans literally got rich when we fell. That, come on, that's when they invented concrete. And you go and think about all the Roman architecture that has been replicated all over the world. That came from the sacking and the destroying of Jerusalem in 70 AD. So this whole thing about we're supposed to remember that we're brothers and have forgiveness, and we're supposed to turn the other cheek. We're at the end of this. Now that we're at the end of their rulership, and Christ is about to come back and set things in proper order, now we're supposed to remember that we're brothers? Now we are supposed to remember forgiveness? Now we are supposed to remember turn the other cheek and have mercy? Now we're looking for the little loopholes of where they can now make it? Or why are we so cruel and so hell-bent on their destruction? Why are we so adamant about their revenge and their payback? But they talk about this critical race thing about not wanting to reveal just from 1619 the tortures and the life that slaves were forced to live under the hands of so-called white people here in America, not wanting to bring it up. And not even going all the way back to 1619, just coming back to since 1865. From 1865, and then what's that? Roe versus Wade, when they desegregated the schools to where they started integrating the schools, and to see the crowds, the mobs of white people that were throwing rocks, sticks, stones, burning crosses, to where the National Guard had to be called so that five black people could just go get a piece of paper that says they graduated from this university or from this college? That this critical race thing is, they don't want it brought up because it might make white people feel bad about what their ancestors did. But not only is their ancestors going way back, white people today, my age, can go back and look at some of those pictures and see their aunts and uncles and parents' faces clearly being in these mobs, the anger filled, the horror filled disgust in these people's faces at just letting a black girl go to college to get a college education. The violent mobs, the throwing of bricks, the spitting on people, they cannot actually go and see their parents, their relatives
participating
in these very corrupt, violent demonstrations. And I don't know how many black people, when I was in the military, especially when I was in the military, but being my age, I'm only 54, 52, I have said my parents are racist, but I'm not one of them. What you mean your parents are racist? I mean, you know what they've done. And now the pictures are coming out. It's being taught in history classes. And they're like, no, we got to erase this. We got to go ahead and whitewash history again to keep this image of the pristine, the Waltons, Little House on the Prairie. I'm going way, way, way back. But, you know, Family Guy, Simpsons, pre-Married with Children, King of the Hill, before all that, it was the image of keeping white people as the most pristine, angelic, wholesome people on the planet, that these lies are being ripped apart. So getting back to my point, getting back to the scripture. So we're in Psalms chapter 137, verse 7. It says, remember, O Lord, the children of Edom, who in the day of Jerusalem said, raise it. Go ahead.
Even to the foundation thereof.
Burn the whole thing down. Don't let nothing be left. Read.
O daughter of Babylon.
Oh, and then we see where Edom is called the daughter of Babylon. They're the offspring of Babylon. And again, when we go and research Babylon, the very first Babylon that was on the earth, there's been three Babylons. And the brother priest Tazapah did a great survey, series, and expose on Babylon, understanding the three Babylons. If you haven't seen or heard that, please go check it out. He went very in-depth and very clear and precise in explaining in the Bible, biblically, there's three Babylons. For Edom to be called the daughter of Babylon, it is referring to the very first Babylon under Nimrod, where Nimrod was in the Bible was the very first conqueror after the flood. And his philosophy was there is no God, that you're responsible for your own happiness, that you must take fate in your own hands, and you determine what kind of life and what life you're going to have. He was the very first one to come up with that. And a lot of the modern-day holidays from Christmas, Easter, birthdays, all attributed and go back to him, that he made himself an idol, worshiping himself, having confidence in himself. Again, taking fate by the hands. That goes back to Nimrod. We see that the daughter of Babylon being the offspring and continuing the same type of practices and philosophies and way of thinking as Nimrod did from back then. So here we're seeing Edom being referred to as the daughter of Babylon. All right, going back now to Isaiah 47 and verse 1, let's go and pick them now and read that over again.
We're now in Isaiah chapter 47. Starting at verse 1.
Yes, sir.
And it says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon.
And here we see the daughter of Babylon will be referred to as a virgin. Right? There's no difference. It's the same image, if you will, that's given about the great whore that said about many waters in Revelation chapter 17. It's the same image. Okay? The whore, that whore being the daughter of Babylon. Okay? But here it's being called, the metaphor being used as the virgin daughter of Babylon. A virgin is somebody who is untouched. Right? A virgin is somebody who is seemingly pure, seemingly unmolested, if you will. And we can see where America, since the founding of America, that really no wars have really touched or been in America since America became founded as America. Now, we know there was the French and Indian War. We know there was the War of 1812. Discrediting any of those actual historical events, but in understanding that since that time, because from the French and Indian War, America got basically the West Coast. From the Spanish American War, I'm sorry, they got basically the West Coast. And the French and Indian War basically gave them the Midwest all the way down through Louisiana and Mississippi. And then obviously with the War of Independence, we have the establishing of the 13 colonies or the East Coast. So since all those wars were fought, the last major war that was fought within the confines of so-called America would have been the Civil War, where there was actually a war fought within the continental United States, would have been the Civil War. But since then, and the federal government's taken over the whole land or what have you, there have been no wars fought within the continental United States. Now, we even go back to 9/11 with George Bush and this supposed war against bin Laden. George Bush launched those planes that hit the World Towers. That was not a terrorist act from bin Laden. That was a terrorist act from George Bush and the New World Order. That's where that came from. But since America's been founded, the closest they got since America was founded was the bombing of Hawaii during Pearl Harbor. Since that time, nothing has ever touched the actual continental United States and all the wars that America's been involved in. Nothing's actually touched from Vietnam to Korea, World War I, World War II. Desert Storm, Desert Shield, Operation Freedom. There's been no actual wars fought within the continental United States. America's always been the aggressor or what have you, taking the war overseas, taking the war to other countries, but it has never actually came here. So it says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. The dust represents a low estate. You're dusty, you're dirty, you're
being brought down.
You're being brought down. All right. So it says, come down and now sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Go ahead.
Sit on the ground. There is no throne.
You're not majestic. It says, now sit on the ground. Be debased. Come down. You're not a queen. This America, the beautiful, America the great, America the inspiration, if you will, that America is just that it's the golden prize to get to America. How many immigrants from all over the world have fought and died in trying to make sure their offspring can make it to America, the land of the free, the home of the brave, to where you can make it in America and live the American dream. To where it's just, if I can just make it to the shores of America, that in America, the fantasy that the streets down there are paved with gold, and that, hell, from all the commercials you see in America, there's just food everywhere. McDonald's, Arby's, Carl's Jr., Burger King. I'm sorry?
We have the meat.
Yeah, we have the meat, for real. I mean... If you're over there in a starving, war-torn country, And there's meat. I mean, it's in the commercials everywhere. Buffalo Wild Wings, Popeyes. Love that chicken from Popeyes. I mean, it's just food everywhere. You got DoorDash, Uber Eats. Right. You got Grubhub. It's just food.
Grub.
Yeah, Grub. Grub. Hub. I mean, you go to the gas stations. There's food at the gas stations. Everywhere you turn, there's food. That if you're in a Starbucks, what are you going to say? What are you going to say?
No, you know, just the abundance of, you know, the illusion, really. But it's the abundance is the promotion of America.
Yeah. Every corner there's a Starbucks.
Right.
It's just that disillusion that America is just, I mean, the technology that's used, and just the media, I ain't gonna say the media, I mean, America suffers from the worst, the highest case of obesity on the whole planet, that there must be food here, from Coca-Cola to Pepsi to Gatorade to...
So just water. Just,
I mean,
you know, we have so much water now, we can sell it.
We can bottle it and sell it, for real. I mean,
I sell water.
Indoor plumbing. You can just go, just keep flushing the toilet. Just keep flushing the water. Just keep going down. Just whoosh, 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 whoosh. Leave the sink running with the, when you brush your teeth. Right. Just water, just gallons of water. Just go down the sink as you're brushing your teeth. I mean, it's the land of plenty.
Right. The land of opportunity.
The land of opportunity that you can make it, that it's America. So it says, come now, sit on the ground. There is no throne. That now the reality that, no, you're not as pristine and untouchable. You're not as beautiful as the appearance, the lying appearance, the lying facades. The charades is being played. Go ahead.
O daughter of the Chaldeans.
And we're going to research the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were known for their magic. All right? Now, we don't use magic today like David Blaine or one of these cats. But the term would be technology. That from the science and from the technology that is implemented or derived from America, that America's technology from the Steve Jobs, the Bill Gates, the Teslas, the what's the other cat's name?
Windows. Just
go ahead. The Mark Zuckerbergs.
Yeah.
The
Zuckerberg.
the Elon Musks. That the technology that is implemented and used here on a daily. That you have kids 2-3 years old with iPhones, able to log on to the World Wide Web. And download videos, look at videos, or do what have you. That from the technology that America produces, it's top of the world. Now the Koreans definitely are right there. The Chinese are definitely right there. But in reality, nobody can outdo the technology of Esau. Nobody can outdo the technology or the magic of what America presents. No different than the Egyptian magicians back during the time of Pharaoh. When we were freed from the captivity of the Egyptians, that their technology, whether or magicians, whether it was in warfare, whether it was in lifestyles, comfort,
sorcery,
they call it sorcery, whatever. But today they would have us think that magic and sorcery is only dealing with Merlin, or only dealing with some type of Greek mythology.
Chris Angel,
right? Yeah, a Chris Angel type of mind freak type, right. of situation. That's the lie that they spin for us today. Again, when we think about sorcerers, we think about the Sorcerer's Stone. We think about Harry Potter. We think about
the Witches of Eastwick.
Yeah.
Charmed. you know, the shows. The
right, exactly. Right. That we're thinking about stuff like that as opposed to
the witchcraft that is used to turn the television on, the remote control.
looking at that or and realizing that Thanos wasn't really that tall. All right. Iron Man, the Spider-Man suit wasn't real. The Doctor Strange really didn't turn the world upside down like what he did in fighting the Scarlet Witch or the Vision or what have you. But to look at these things on TV, there is no Wakanda. All right. that these things are not real, but you look on the TV and it would seem like it is. It would seem like from that type of technology, they call it computer generated graphics, what have you, that you would really believe that it's real, that they are real, that Thanos really was 8 foot tall, and that the Hulk and Bruce Banner and Thor. That really is a
Avalon. What is it?
Whatever the blue stone was.
Where you know Vikings.
Right, for real. Right.
You know, come from as superheroes.
And
know.
Yeah, that people really think that these things are real. To look at TV, watch movies, whatever.
Right.
That it's achievable. It's believable. These things can be achieved. I'm gonna leave it at that. So, in looking at these things, this is what is a metaphor, a reference to America, going back to O Daughter of the Chaldeans. That America again is the offspring of the Chaldeans, who were known for their magic or their technology. Reading on.
Okay, we are in Isaiah 47 and verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust. O virgin daughter of Babylon, sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate.
Right. Yeah, at one time, America was you couldn't touch America. It was off limits. That America was, again, with all immigrants trying to fight to get to America. America having on the Statue of Liberty, give me your poor, your weak, your this, your that, or whatever. That everybody was trying to get to America where they can become rich, where they can make it. So, and then having relatives, having people now fighting to get to America, losing their lives to get to America, that America was just untouchable, was the mindset, that nobody would ever think about rising up against America. From the Miss America pageant, the...
Miss Universe.
To the Miss Universe pageant, to the again, the blonde hair, blue eyed white girl being the Barbie, which is looking like a classic American girl. That America is just untouchable. We can't touch America, and that you were vilified. You were a terrorist. You were a villain to talk about America, the great Satan. Talk about America, the great deceiver. Talk about death to America. America is the president of America is the leader of the free world. He's the leader of the democracy for the free world. That he's the most powerful man. He's damn near Superman. If you let the lies overtake you, that this is literally the greatest country, and that everybody is striving to be like America and wants a part of America.
And it's the land of the free. In that with the statue of liberty, meaning you can do this place is the place to be if you want to do anything that your mind or your heart desires.
Which is the truth. That it's been called tender and delicate, that the American way of life is to be preserved.
Right.
The morals that's presented through television about how pure and how righteous, how God-fearing America is, that it's tender and it's delicate. That the presidents are sworn in on the Bible. You go to the courthouses, they use the Bible to make you to swear in. And they put on their money, in God we trust. So this must be a God-fearing place. And when we say God, that the God of heaven and earth must really be with America, because look at the riches and look at the wealth and the resources. Let's not look at how they've destroyed the Native Americans. Let's not look at how they destroyed the so-called Mexicans. Let's not look at how that the wealth of America was built off the free labor of black people. Let's not look at how even Chinese people, not that the Chinese are a part of our lineage, but look how Chinese came and built the railroads across America for commerce. Let's not look at that, but let's just look at how shiny and how great and how prosperous America is. And for all the great things that come from America, cars, trucks, TVs, supposedly, because now it's all coming from China, Taiwan, Mexico, whatever. But at one time, to be American built, that was the best made appliance, the best made, it was the highest caliber that could be achieved in the world. Verse 2.
Take the millstones and grind meal.
Now, a millstone is something that's humongous and it's huge. It takes bullocks, a 1,000-pound bull or two of them to actually pull a millstone. A millstone is a giant stone that had a hole bored through it and had a giant bead that would go through the end of it. And you would tie the end of it to the yoke of a bull or bulls, and they would have to walk with this damn thing in a circle. And then you would put the meal or the corn on the ground and let this giant heavy stone just crush it. And this is how you make your flour. This is how you make make meal, so you can make bread and make food or what have you. And it's humongous and it's heavy as hell. If you remember the first Conan movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger, when when they showed him being after his dad was killed and his mom was beheaded by what's your boy's name? The brother.
On which movie again? I'm so sorry.
Conan.
Oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But the brother.
The brother.
With the voice.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones, right. Go back and look at that movie. And you'll see that once his father was killed in the war, his mom was beheaded. He was as a little boy, he was holding her hand and beheaded. And it showed you that he was taken to slave quarters, if you will, a workplace. And one of his jobs was to push a millstone. And it was for pushing that millstone for all those years that he developed his muscles to become Conan, if you will. So a millstone is something that's huge, heavy, and very humongous. So it takes a huge amount of work to make it, to get this millstone to turn to do its job. And then you're pulling it over grain. You're pulling it over wheat to grind it down so it might be a powder. It takes a lot of work. So as well as one time with America being pristine, you have the image of America, and not so much today because the prophecies that are coming out, but America would be that the image of America would be that white woman in that long dress with the camisole with the umbrella, and she's wearing gloves that go up past her elbows. She's got the bonnet on her head. She's got probably some diamond earrings on in her ears. She's the most pale white because she's not letting the sun get to her. And everything about her is covered. And she's a pristine white woman. And her clothes, again, are clean and immaculate. Even though the white people didn't shower, but maybe once a week, maybe. But this image of this white woman, blonde hair, blue-eyed white woman with the hair bonnet, head covered. She's got the camisole keeping the sun off of her. She's wearing all white, so she's spotless. But she walks. If she's going to walk over a pedal, a man would take his jacket off and cover the pedal so she can walk by and just stay clean and just stay pristine because she's this white woman. And good Lord, don't let her have a daughter. Oh my God. Oh my goodness. That is something that is pure as the driven snow. That must be protected at all costs. They're so tender and pure and so delicate, like a white rose or a dove, or just she's just so beautiful with her golden locks. And
she is.
Miss America, that I will give my last breath to make sure nothing happens to her. And if anybody was to hurt her or her daughter, the list a man is supposed to go to protect this image of the white woman, of white America, of Miss Anne, of Karen, Karen's mom, that you've got to protect and give your life for this image.
Catherine.
Yes. Pamela, that Ginger, she must be protected. This has been the image of America, but now we're seeing in verse 2, the Lord says, it's time now to take meals. It's time to go to work. It's time to put in a huge amount of work and grind meal. Go ahead.
Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg.
And we can see that at one time, that when go back to the old Westerns, and I know I'm saying a lot by saying that. I know a lot of people in this generation don't even know what the hell a Western is. You probably think a Western is you might think old school, that it's Biggie and Tupac. Westerns were TV shows or movies that were put together in a very false way, describing life in America going back to trying to depict
the settling days.
Right? Yeah, the settlement of this, when America was being settled.
Right.
I can't mention some of the actors because I know a lot of people this generation have no clue, but it was when cowboys first got to the Americas. You know, it was the Old West.
Nice.
If you go back and look at some images and pictures of how the women were dressed in the cities, that again, just like we were talking about, they'd have, not only would they have on long dresses and long sleeve dresses and make sure everything was covered up, they would have, and not only a brassiere, they would have a corset that would squeeze the waist and keep them covered.
Right. And the skirt or the dress down to the foot. And
the dress would go down to the foot.
A bell.
It'd be a bell dress.
Right.
Yeah. Not bell bottoms, but a bell dress, like a dome down there. And they would have on breeches and
long johns,
if you will,
right.
As well as stockings and socks and pantyhose.
Right.
And we're talking about
and
bloomers. That's where I live. Bloomers.
Right.
That you will not see any part of a woman. You might see their face, but then, because even their dresses, the dress tops, the blouses, they'd be buttoned all the way up to just below their neck. That you would not see that because of their pale skin, they couldn't afford the sun to hit them. Because there was sunscreen.
Right.
There was no sunscreen.
Right. And they had no desire to be tanned.
They had no desire to be dark. That's why they were called blue bloods.
Right.
The reason they were called blue bloods is because they'd be so pale, you could see their veins through their skin, and the veins would be blue. And that's why they'd be known as blue bloods. And then that's why even the cops were known as the boys in blue, because they was protecting their society. They were protecting these white people that were so pale. And they made it
against the law, like, right?
Against the law, but the police,
oh, okay.
The reason the police are known as the boys in blue is because they were protecting blue bloods. It was to make sure dark-skinned people or melanated people never came around these blue bloods, these pale people, these white people. It was to make sure it stays safe. So when they say to protect and serve, yes, they were protecting and serving these white people, the aristocrats, the high society, from the common people, black people,
wow,
Mexican people, brown people. They were to make sure that we stayed on our side of the street or stayed on our side of whatever, and we never intermingled with white people. That's why, even to this day, if you drive through a white neighborhood, you're going to get pulled over. If you're a dark-skinned person driving through what's considered a white neighborhood, you're being pulled over by the boys in blue, because that's what they were originally set up for, to protect that part of society. Again, all this is researchable. I'm not just yanking shit out of my butt. All this can go back and be researched. So at one time, America was, again, the image of the pristine white woman who never showed any skin. It wasn't no... it was just the pristine white woman who was just completely covered.
Verse 2 of Isaiah chapter 47 in verse 2. It says, take the millstones and grind mill, uncover thy locks.
At one time, women, and I like this right here, it uses now, women never had their head uncovered. Even white women never had their head uncovered. Women wore bonnets. Women wore their hair pinned up to where it used to be a saying, come in, let down your hair, get comfortable. That the only person that for a woman to be so, again, pristine and so buttoned up and so untouchable is what that represented. That for her to be just comfortable enough that she might take her bonnet off and let her hair down, that was an invitation. That was, y'all about to get married. For a woman to reach to the point where she would loosen up enough to where she would let her hair down, that you can now do such an intimate thing as not just touch her sexually or her genitalia, but to be able to run your fingers through her hair, to be given that permission, to be given that
privilege,
that access,
right,
to just run your fingers through her hair. That was an achievement, that she was now that comfortable with you that she would even just let you get that close, that now she could let her hair down and you could run your fingers through her hair. But now we're seeing it's gone from that where they was covered up, untouchable, to now they're the Playboy models, they're the hustle models, they are sluts. I can't say no different. They're slut. Now it's about being as accessible and as promiscuous and as
open
as possible. Now, when the white woman came back in the 40s and 50s with burning their bras, that was a real statement. The feminist movement, that was a real statement to burn your bra and now anybody can have access to touch your breasts, to see your breasts, to be able to see how cold it is. It's nippy out here. Nippy is short for nipples. That your nipples will get hard because it's cold. But from the image that was seen before, you could never even tell the woman had nipples because of how covered up they would be. Go back and look at some of the westerns. I was looking at, because my mom likes watching westerns, and I was just recently with her. And to me, what was amazing was to see these people in these old western towns, even then, they were everybody from the sheriff to the women. They all wore long sleeve shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coats, leather coats.
Even the prostitutes.
Yeah.
Look at Gunsmoke, Miss Kitty, and her patrons.
Right.
Her employees. They were dressed exactly the way you were describing, the layers, the bloomers.
Right,
the
right.
Bell, the hat, and they were prostitutes.
And they'd be in layers.
Right.
Of clothing, but now we're seeing how accessible society has allowed white women to become. Again, from playboys to hustlers to, and I'm going back into to early porn in America. To good Lord, by the time you got the internet, but now you got now on Instagram or Facebook. Or whatever, to get likes, to get views. Look at how scantily dressed, and I hate even use the word scantily. Look at how whorish women have now made themselves, particularly the white woman. Why is Paris Hilton even famous? Well, for being a celebrity, for showing herself. Kim Kardashian now has become famous for showing herself, not because of her dad's wealth and being a lawyer. I mean, one of the greatest lawyers in L.A. and to be on even O.J.'s defense team, but to be an internet celebrity, to be an internet star, because of how you show yourself now, how you reveal yourself now, that it's, again, how accessible you are. The term, if you got it, flaunt it, has become now the American damn near mantra, that you got to show something. You got to give something. That just to be uncovered now.
Right. Because I mentioned Miss Kitty. They treated her, even the lawman, the marshal. You better not disrespect the name of the woman, the madam, the mm-hmm. madam of the brothel. You better not disrespect you treated them with class.
Yes.
Even though they were prostitutes.
They say in these old boom towns.
Right.
That the first thing they have was be the bar for the prostitutes and then the church. Almost in that order. That's how a lot of these cities was raised.
Right.
But again, all this is a prophecy about what was going to happen with America. And we see this taking place right before our very eyes. So it says, take the millstone and grind the mill. Uncover thy locks. And go ahead.
Make bare the leg.
Now show yourself. Now let it be seen. If it's Maxim magazine, if it's I can't even read on magazines now because everything's on the internet now. What can't be seen? What can't be seen? So now, if it's pasties, where just the nipple might be covered, or they put a star or something right where the genitalia might be at, but it leaves nothing to the imagination. You can see everything now, and it's being promoted from America the most. Reading on.
Uncover the thigh. Pass over the river.
Pass over the river. Remember, I was just giving an example of, we'll go back and look at the founding of America in the Western days. Yeah, for that woman to be dressed so tightly that a man would put to cross over a puddle, a man would take his jacket off. Literally put his jacket over the puddle so that when she walked, she wouldn't have to raise her dress to keep her dress from getting dirty.
Right.
Or and then revealing her ankles, revealing anything.
Right, her shins, the heels she had on.
Exactly.
Shoes.
Everything would be covered.
Right.
To pass over a river, how much do you got to lift your clothes up now? To pass over a river. Show everything now. Let everything be revealed. Whereas when America was first being founded, again, with the lies and the and it's hard to believe that the depth that has been taking place to present America as a wholesome place of justice, purity, holiness, and godliness. When you had the treatment of the slaves, you had the decimating of the North American Indians, you had the defiling of the so-called Mexicans, all taking place with the founding of America, but to put on in media and on TV and in books or whatever, just how great and God-fearing and righteous America was. But at the same time now, we're seeing now the corruptness that was really taking place, the debauchery that's really taking place, the swinging of sharing wives is taking place, the incest. And they always joke about it from Alabama, that if you're from Alabama, everybody in Alabama is related because of how much incest is going on, and that's known for where white people really come from. That's the home of many white people in America, the Appalachians. That they're known for now their incest, where they make jokes about it. Alabama and Kentucky. At the same, we make jokes about it as if it, like it didn't happen. It did happen, but now it's made to be jokes. The bestiality that was taking place, the homosexuality. This guy Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, who came up with the COINTELPRO, who came up with the looking for and to destroy the Black Messiah among either Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, the Black Panthers. This dude was a flaming homosexual. This dude was gay as a $3 bill. But to present this image that they were just so wholesome. And so again, God-fearing and about justice and about doing what's right and what's morally correct. But behind the doors, all the raping, the pedophiles, the homosexuality.
I'm saying atrocities would be
the atrocities that were taking place. Now all this stuff is being revealed. As we look at some of the Black Lives Matter, since like Colin Kaepernick and the execution of Eric Garner, the Black Lives Matter movement, that now the rest of the world is seeing America, and they have came to some of the rally cry of our people in America, like, what is America doing? But yet, you don't see, they're calling for Putin to be brought up on charges about what's going on in Ukraine. But what about what George, what George Bush did to what Donald Trump has done? To why was there a need for Colin Kaepernick to take a knee during the national anthems to bring notice, to bring attention to the brutality that Black people were facing at the hands of police departments across this country? Now it's been revealed to the world. We can go back to 1992 when Rodney King was first beaten, and that was put on film and could be seen, and he was found not guilty. Remember, that was 92.
That was 90.
The riot.
94, right?
No, it was before that because, well, it was around 90. Hold on. If you can look that up real quick, yeah. Because I was in Japan when the verdict came out. That was about 91, 92.
Right. When were the Los Angeles riots? 92, April 29th. start date.
That was April, because I got out in June then.
Right.
I got the military in June. Yeah, that's about right, because I was in Japan when I got out. And when them riots went off in Los Angeles, I was in Okinawa, Japan. It shut down Okinawa. They were afraid in Okinawa, Japan, from the rioting that was taking place in Los Angeles with Judah and Issachar in Los Angeles. It shut down Okinawa, Japan. They locked down the military bases and the actual cities in Okinawa, Naha or what have you, they shut them down. They put everybody on the curfew. They were afraid that the riots were going to reach all the way over there. This is back in 92. That was back in 1992. But for how obvious it was, how Rodney King was beaten and those cops were found not guilty, you can see that it was on film. And they were still found not guilty. So now the world was starting to see then how corrupt America really is. But because of all the lies, especially from the TV, the media, the movies of how great this place is, the lies behind the politics, the lies behind the what's supposed to be the moral uprightness and culture of America, we're seeing that all of that is a lie, and now it's being revealed, now it's being seen. Let's keep reading Isaiah 47 verse 3.
Isaiah 47 and verse 3, and it says, "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered." Yeah. "Thy shame shall be seen."
Now we're seeing the corruptness. Now it's really being revealed. But again, in an effort to try to hide it now, this critical race thing going on, let's hide this from history. Let's erase it. Let it not be taught in schools. Let not the shame of what America and what white people have actually done, let that now be erased. Let it be forgotten about. This is 2022, not 1822, not 1922. This is 2022. Let's not bring those things up. Even though we're still going to have a Memorial Day, we're still going to have a July 4th, we're still going to have a Labor Day, we're still going to have a Veterans Day. Let's not remember what America and what white people have done to other people across the world here in America. Let's not bring that up. The prophecy says, "Thy shame shall be seen." Go ahead.
"Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yeah, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man."
Right, because America's been able to conquer everybody they fought against. America and Esau, the white people, have been able to conquer everybody they fought against. But the Lord says, "I'm not going to meet you as a man. You have your nukes. It's not going to win. Your technology, it didn't help the Egyptians back then. It's not going to help you now." Go ahead.
Isaiah 47 and 4. "As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel."
Our Redeemer. The Lord of hosts is his name. The Lord of armies. That's what the word host means. Our Redeemer, the one's going to come and save us because no one else has been able to. From all the rioting, from all the politics, from all the voting, from all the education, from all the unions, from all the fraternities that have been established, no one has been able to redeem us. But the one who is coming to redeem us, his name is what? The Lord of armies. That's his name, the Holy One of Israel. Read.
"As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel."
Read.
"Sit thou silent."
Now the time has come. America, sit down.
And shut up.
Go ahead.
"And get thee into darkness."
Now you can't figure out. You can't come and have a Mensa Society meeting to figure out how to get past this problem. How you the problems that are arising, whether it be COVID, whether it be whatever it might be, that now you have so many problems come up, the water droughts, the food shortages, that now you can't figure out what to do. And this is only the beginning. The Lord's only beginning with these type of things. It's about to get a lot worse to where your scientists, right now you can clone animals. There's going to come a time, that's not going to work. You can clone fruit. That's not going to work. That the Lord's going to hit you. He's the Lord of armies. He's got stuff reserved that you can not even think about. This is why now you have a space war, agency.
Right.
You know, shut down NASA, and now you have the space war. You're ready for an invasion from space. Now, since all the records being let loose about UFOs, or whatever, and it can't be hid. Now it's out. Now you're going to be in darkness like, man, how do we explain this? You never have the light bulb pop off like, we can do this. Hey, I got an idea. Maybe this will work. Reading on, sir, unless you have anything you want to add.
Chapter 47 and verse 5.
Go ahead.
And it says, sit thou silent and get thee into darkness. O daughter of Chaldeans,
What are they known for? Their magic, their sorcery, or what today would be known as technology. Go ahead.
For thou shalt no more be called the lady of kingdoms.
That's untouchable. That America's a queen. It must be pristine and be protected at all costs. That's coming to an end. Everybody is now. South Korea got nukes. They let America know, we will hit you. Japan, you hit Japan with Hiroshima and Nagasaki, not a problem. They hit you back with what? Nintendo.
Wow.
We don't hit your kids. You try to wipe out our generations with two bombs? Cool. We send Sega and Nintendo.
PlayStation.
Sony PlayStation. We said to y'all Power Rangers. We said to y'all Transformers. We said to y'all Voltron. We gonna mess y'all kids' brains up. Now. Again, why are American kids the dumbest kids on the planet now? At one time, American kids was first in math, reading comprehension, whatever. Now go look at the test scores now. American students compared to world students. America's not number one. We're barely top 10 in education in anywhere on the planet. People come from Jamaica and be like, damn. Y'all some stupid motherfuckers.
You go to school, where it's alternative.
Charter.
Charter, yeah. Showers.
Go to charter school to learn something, because public school ain't teaching you a damn thing. You ain't learning nothing. With the standardized tests, American students are can we look that up real quick since we're here? I'm just curious now. I'm going to see the numbers.
What is America's rank in education around the world? For some reason, my phone is so low. It's so low. It's taking a long time for it to come up.
It says, "Yeah, I'll read some of this. Let me pull this up. Let's pull this up."
Yeah, it's low.
And see, we only got like 7 minutes up in this class.
Right.
I don't know how I'm gonna do this, Doc. All right. The research or the question I put in to Google was American students ranked in the world. And the first thing that came up, it says, and this is from Google, a Google search, to several countries lost ground, boosting the ranking of the United States, was ranked 8th in reading and 11th in science. Its math score below the average for other countries of the OECD put it at 30th in the world, according to the National Center of Education Statistics from December 3rd, 2019. So in math, America was ranked 30th in the world in math. 30th?
30th. That's a hell of a drop.
America was ranked 8th in when it comes to reading. And 11th in science?
With all of them.
That's from the Washington Post.
And what do you blame it on? Nintendo, Sega, Sony PlayStation.
God.
The Power Rangers, Voltron.
Con. Dragon Ball Z. Con.
When you think about it, those animes and that animation, they're all deceptive because they show China and Japan living like America when that's not really how it is in China and Japan. It's like a reflection. Wow, I can see that as you hit us with the atomic bomb,
right?
And we hit you with Nintendo. We hit you with anime.
Come.
We hit you where we knew it would hurt.
Exactly. More long lasting.
We looked in the end result and not just the flash of boom.
Right.
So
here I got countries with the best educational systems. This is from 2020. Global Citizens for Human Rights. Number one, Denmark. Number two, Finland. Number three, Japan. Number four, Canada. Number five, Sweden. Number six, Germany. Number seven, Israel. Number eight, Netherlands. Number nine, Singapore. And number 10, South Korea.
We didn't even make top 10.
Not we. Haven't even made the top 10. That was in 2020. COVID hit 2019. From 2020, which had to use 2019 statistics, America didn't even make the top 10. Now, somehow, all of a sudden, now, in 2021, America didn't even make the top 10. Now, guess who's number one now? America, the United States, then United Kingdom, then Germany, then Canada, then France, Switzerland, Japan, Australia, Sweden, and the Netherlands.
The penitentiary.
Yeah.
Wow. And I noticed that the Asian, China, Korea,
yeah,
Japan, they dropped.
Of course.
When Denmark drops just what? They not even...
Denmark or the Netherlands is all the way to the bottom. Let's finish up Isaiah 47, right. Verse 6.
Yes, sir. Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 6. And it reads, I was wroth with my people.
Right. The Most High was pissed off. Most High is now explaining the only reason why America was ever on top. Ever. The only reason why America was known as the Lady of Kingdoms, that it was untouched, and almost kept private, or kept in reserve only for the Most High to hit it, the way he's going to hit this place. Being reserved just for the Most High to make his entrance back in the earth. Is because the Most High was wroth with us Israelites. He was pissed with us. I was wroth with my people. Read.
I have polluted my inheritance.
And we got polluted. And this is the part I was wanting to get to in within all this reading, that we got polluted. Our minds, our spirits, our morals have been polluted. Our way of thinking of what is right, what is proper, what is good, what is acceptable has been very polluted. Read on.
And given them into thine hand.
Because we've been in the hand of so-called white people. Since they got here to the Americas, they have done nothing but pollute our minds. Actually pollute our spirits. To the point now, they're polluting our DNA with from sickle cell anemia, only being a so-called black disease, to where they've got to a point where they have infected our DNA. Lord knows where it's at right now. But in every aspect, they have polluted us. Again, so our sense of what's actually right and our sense of what's actually wrong really has been tainted. It really has been thrown by the most villainous, cruelest people on the planet Earth. The most basest of humans, the most basest of morals, one of the most moralist societies ever created or allowed to walk on planet Earth. And again, I'm bringing all this up and I'm trying to tie all this into when we come back and we're looking at trying to consider what it means to take the name of the Lord God in vain. That one, God's not even his name. But to come back now and understand what it means to damn somebody, meaning to curse somebody, meaning to wish evil or a punishment or revenge on somebody for something they've done. That wanting that idea erased out of the minds of Israelites, of our people, and ready to be in a position to want to continue to protect the American way of living. To continue to want to protect the American lifestyle in the name of what was called so-called liberty. As many people are being suckered into the propaganda machine with this Ukraine and this Russia
conflict.
People call it conflict. I want to call it a play, a comedy or what have you.
Right. It does seem like it's a setup.
It is set up. And the reason I'm saying that is because many Americans, I'm going to say it like that, many Americans are getting sucked in to want to go fight against Russia for the name of freedom and for democracy and for America. What is you going to go interfere with Ukraine and Russia got to do with America?
Right.
How is your liberty, how is your freedom being endangered because of what's going on over there in Europe, about 2 hours away from the Russian border? What's it going to do with you? Not a damn thing.
It's going to give them an excuse now, a reason to bring the battle here.
Kind of with which we know it's prophesied anyway.
Right.
But I'm trying to bring a light
right.
to how your a person's Americans' minds how much they've been manipulated, how much they're being continually polluted to where the only side you get about what's going on in Russia and Ukraine is whatever America says. That's the only side you're getting. You don't know. You don't know why is it, all you know is Russia's communist and they're evil. Look at everything you thought Saddam Hussein and taking back Kuwait was evil. When Saddam Hussein's government, they never recognized Kuwait as being a part of, not being a part of their country. That was his country. But all you know is that he was evil and that he had some oil, some gas.
And weapons of mass destruction.
And supposed weapons of mass destruction that George Bush said was there. But hell, Matt Damon had to come back and make a movie about it. There were no weapons of mass destruction. Look at how much, and examine or meditate on just how much we've been polluted here in America when it comes to true morals, when it comes to true civility, when it comes to truth. Look at how much we've been polluted. So now I can really, a person might actually believe they're born gay. You might actually believe that now. Because they're going to come up with a DNA test to now prove that there's a gay gene or something. Like some type of gay mutation or whatever. That now you can be born this way. The Lord says, I was wroth, Isaiah 47, verse 6. He says, I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance. Go ahead.
And given them into thine hand.
And we've been given into the hand of Caucasians. Given to the hand of white people. From their religion, their education, their entertainment, their philosophy, their morals, their justice system, their complete way of thinking. Go ahead.
Upon the ancient, let me read that again. Thou didst show them no mercy.
And again, we were not showing any mercy. Similar to how the Egyptians did us back in ancient Egypt, just the Egyptians never called themselves us. And we are Gentiles. That never happened. But we can see where the so-called white man has claimed it. And now he's not only claiming to be us, the Jews, the Israelites, and the Christians. We're just no, what the hell are we then? Read.
Upon the ancient hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke.
They put their burden on us very heavily. They put their lives, they put all their efforts into making sure that we will not come together as a nation. A nation. Even to the point where we think a nation, America is a nation. Made up of all different nationalities. How, when you read the Bible, that makes no sense. A nation is always made up of the same people who share the same ancestors. That's a nation according to the Bible. Not because everybody's just gathered together in one place. That don't make a nation. You think America's a nation because what you learn in school, society, what have you. That's not, no. Read again.
Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 7.
Yeah.
And thou saidst, I shall be a lady forever, so that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither didst remember the latter end of it.
That there's going to be an end to this. There's going to be an end to your rulership. We keep wanting to forget that. So with that, brothers and sisters, I want to thank you all for tuning in, whether you listen live right now through the computer or you might call in or you catch the archive show. Hopefully this was informative. He was able to get something from this. He was able to see the picture that we're trying to formulate and trying to paint and trying to get some details to help reveal and
expose.
That's the word I'm looking for. Thank you. And expose the truth. Expose what's really going on. Again, and I know that I said this is part four. If you look on the series names and everything. I'm taking the Lord's name in vain, and I know in this era and days of TikTok, TikTok is so powerful that now YouTube had to come up with YouTube Shorts or Instagram, to where now it's making sure everything's done quick, fast, turnover, quick, fast. And I know this is not taking a quick one step, two step, and this topic is over. Now, it's taking a minute. It's going to take a minute. This is called research. It's called studying. It's called putting your precepts together. So with that, well, I'm thanking everybody again, remind everyone, next Thursday, sunset, begins Passover. The actual Passover next Thursday at sunset is the actual Passover, April 14th. But we will be congregating at 5 o'clock. As I pull this up, we'll be congregating at 5 o'clock Sunday, April 17th, 2022, at 5 o'clock at 5475. West Sam Houston Parkway, North Houston, Texas, at 77041. Right, 77041 there in Houston. All right, tonight's being Thursday. Please tune in to any of the YouTube classes put out by ISBHBK, IUIC, whoever. Tune in. Join the class if you can. Right, hook up with a class if you can, and continue. Please look out for more of our Blog Talk shows, more of our Blog Talk podcast, and share the word. All right, share the word. So with that, my name is Rashad.
Gabar,
and we would like to say shalom.
Shalom.